Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, I have with me this morning my wonderful, trusting, confidential, beautiful, loyal, don't know what I would do without her, Minister Tamika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. Good morning.
Good morning, beloved. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I am fantabulous. I am blessed. I am highly favored. I am awake this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I am out of the bed this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen. So I had to jump straight into good morning, good morning, good morning. After you said all those characteristics of me, because I was smiling so hard and I was trying not to laugh. So that's why I went straight into this morning. Good morning, good morning.
I do understand. Oh my goodness!
I thank you so much. You are truly an encourager. God really did create you. He didn't create you for anything else. He created you to encourage the people, because you can really do that. You can really do that, especially when somebody is down or going through something. You just have this way about you that lifts people's spirit. And I know you told the story about when you were younger, how you always wanted to help people. And I see the position that God put you in was one that you could really help people, you know, beyond just beyond the physical things that people need. He gave you the anointing to touch their lives spiritually as well.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. It amazes me as you you mentioned me telling this story of when I was younger. It amazes me that as all of us, basically, as we look back over our lives, we can see the evidence of what we are doing today. You know, we can see the evidence of some of it, if not a lot of it, you know, from our childhood. You know, because that would all deal with the motivational gift, why you think the way you think, you know, why you do the things you do. And those of us that have been anointed and or gifted, you know, for encouragement or counseling and so forth, you'll look back and see as a child, you know, you were doing that, you know. As a child, you were doing that. You know, those that are servers, you know, you can see them as children, you know, being the server, you know, being the helper around the house, being the ones hands-on doing things and so forth. You can see that as a child, even though we don't realize it, and many of our parents don't realize, you know, that that's what's going on, you know. The gifting that God has placed in us, that's what's happening even at that time. But yeah, this is what I do, and it sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not, because some people get so used to you encouraging and saying good things that
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't believe you mean it when you say it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just
yeah.
saying that, you know, that's just how you are. You'd encourage a dog, a puppy, you know, like whatever, you know, like, and so sometimes it loses its value, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It loses its value. But to God be the glory. May those that hear the sound of my voice, may they be encouraged in every which way, you know, that the Holy Ghost would determine to encourage them. May they be filled with the spirit of hope to go on, and may they by all means, praise be unto God, get a new vision for life. May they
Amen.
Do that. And with that being said, I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm
mm-hmm.
not going right down my roll call right now, but I'm going to ask you, please, beloved, to go ahead and pray us in this morning, please.
Amen. 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 Well, I want us to be on one accord in this prayer. You know, you're home. You can just join in wherever you are, and just be in agreement with me. I don't know how many of you know that. Louisiana is experiencing an evacuation because a storm, a big storm is coming their way, and we know people there. There is a ministry that's connected to us in Louisiana, so
mm-hmm.
they're evacuating the people now, and they're saying that this storm is like on the same level of Katrina. And so we want to keep them in prayer because I think either on Monday or Tuesday, it'll be the 16th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. And they are about to go through something else as devastating as Katrina.
Yeah.
So we want to be in agreement for them that this storm will pass over, that it won't even hit that state, that it'll just
mm-hmm.
dissipate. And
mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, I like you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 we call on your mighty name because you are the only one that can make things right. And so, Heavenly Father, we call on you right now. We call on you, Father God, to just stand in the gap for your people, those that we know, those that we don't know, Lord God. You know, we weren't affected per se by this storm. I'm not sure why I'm feeling so heavy right now for the people.
Mm-hmm.
But God, I just pray that you would stand in between the storm and the people, Lord God, that they
yes.
won't have to experience what they experienced 16 years ago with all the people dying, with people being left homeless, trying to find another state to go to,
yes.
Trying
mm-hmm.
to put their lives back together, Lord God. I just pray that you keep them. I pray that they are being obedient and they're listening and they're leaving now so that they won't get caught up. Oh, God, but I'm praying for the ones that don't have the money to go anywhere, Lord God, those that live in poverty, those that just can't jump up and leave. And that was the same thing that happened 16 years ago with Hurricane Katrina. They couldn't just jump up and leave. They didn't have the money to do so, Lord God. They didn't have the transportation to do so. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, that it's different now. I pray that there are funds somewhere to help those evacuate. I pray that there's transportation, God. And, Father, I'm just praying for obedience, Lord God, that these people will be obedient to what the government is telling them to do. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, because I know that your grace and your mercy is sufficient, Lord God. I know that even if this storm hits, Lord God, that you are in control. But, Father, I'm just praying a hedge of protection over your people. Lord God, I pray that they join together. I pray that they help one another in the name of Jesus, oh God, because they've gone through this before. They know how it feels. They know what it looks like. So, Father God, I pray that instead of selfishness rising, Lord God, I pray for selflessness, to rise in the name of Jesus. I pray that the neighbors would check on each other. I pray that the neighbors would check on the elderly and see what they need and how they can help. Lord God, let them join together on one accord so that they won't, the devastation of Hurricane Katrina won't be upon them like this storm is supposed to be, Lord God. But we know in all things that you are in control, Lord God. We know that you're watching, Lord God. We know that you see what the people need. And Lord, you know, you even have the power to cause this storm to stop. But God, your will be done in the mighty name of Jesus. Your will be done, because we don't know why the storm is needed, Lord God. But your will be done. And God, we give you praise, and we know that you don't make mistakes, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, and that spirit of fear that's probably upon the people right now, Lord God, let not that fear consume them, that they can't think enough to know what to do, Lord God, that we speak to that spirit of fear, that it will cease and desist now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let peace be upon your people. Lord God, let wisdom be upon your people. Let obedience be upon your people in the name of Jesus. God, let love be upon your people. Let joy be upon your people, God. Just bring your people together like never before, that people will be amazed, Lord God, how people came together in unity to help one another through this time, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you, Lord God. And Lord, we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. And I'm going to do something a little unorthodox right now. Minister Tabika, if you will, I want you to go ahead and open our discussion today, wherever you decide to do it, open it. And because real quick, I want to call Apostle Wilson real quick and see how things are going there in Louisiana for him and his wife, because I know she's been very sick. So let me call them real quick and bring a report back.
Thank you. You're welcome. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. We're so blessed to have an audience like you all, because you know other listeners may be like, what are they doing? It may look like, you know, we're not on one accord when it comes to the show. But we're on one accord, and see how Apostle's compassion, and right here on the show, she's going to check on the people that are connected to our ministry, the people that we love. And that's what kingdom love looks like. You know, reaching out to our brothers and sisters, checking on them to see if they're okay. When we hear news like this, you know, we have to check on our brothers and sisters. We have to make sure that they are okay. Us here in Maryland, we have never experienced a hurricane like that, as far as I know. Those that are in other states, I'm not sure, you know, if you guys ever experienced a hurricane as on the level of Katrina. But we just want to make sure that our loved ones are okay. And I just thank God that the Holy Spirit laid that on Apostle's heart to check on them right now, just to, you know, because we're concerned and I'm sure the people of Louisiana are concerned. So if you have family or friends that live in Louisiana, please call and check on them to make sure that they are okay with this hurricane coming their way. We just want to make sure that they are okay.
Good morning.
We do. Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead, honey. You have a caller. Go ahead.
Yes, your last four digits are 1166. 1 second. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to praise the Lord. I wanted to praise the Lord for Heart to Heart Radio Show, for the agape love that your show has always shown us. I thank God for Apostle Banks and you, Minister Tabika, because you're walking the word always, and this morning you're demonstrating it even more, because the word of God says, am I my brother's keeper? The word of God says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And for you all to pour out or to even allow God's agape love to be poured out to you to check on a sister and a brother says volume. So I pray that you know that it just blessed my spirit so much that you would stop to check on someone. Because we need each other. We need each other today like never before. Just a phone call, just for someone to check on you, says volume. So I just wanted to celebrate that aspect of your show today. And it shows Amen. That you and the Apostle Banks are on one accord and being led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you so much, Sister Jackie. And we appreciate
Amen.
You.
Amen. God bless. God bless. All right. I got no answer. Got no answer, so I will continue to check back through the day. We will continue to keep Louisiana up in prayer. And to God be the glory. We believe God for miracles.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All righty. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, look, you can go ahead and open us up. Deliverance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Deliverance,
Amen.
Lord, deliver us. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we discussed understanding deliverance part one. And in that portion, we talked about what deliverance is. We talked about, how to cast out devils and is deliverance necessary. We also talked about, being demonically possessed, oppressed, or influenced and what the difference is. So I admonish you to go back to that, understand the deliverance part two and listen to that so that you can get a clear understanding of what deliverance is so you'll be able to follow us. As we go forward. And also we are teaching from Bishop Tony Owens. He created this deliverance manual, House of David Schools of Ministry, School of Deliverance and Casting Out Devils. And so, again, like I said, we're on Understanding Deliverance Part 2. And, this information is great. It's great for you. It's great for people connected to you. It's great information to have. I'm telling you, it's great information for you to have with you. Good information for you to, know how to deal with things that rise up or things that you don't understand or deliverance. Your what you're going through as far as sickness or depression and anxiety and things like that could be connected to. Evil spirits. And when people say evil spirits, they kind of get closed off because they like, I don't have no evil spirits, because of who they are, who they think they are. They feel like they don't have any evil spirits, or they think if you would say to them, that's anger, that's a spirit. That's depression, that's a spirit, but people don't equate the two because to them it sounds like you're saying that they're crazy. You're telling them that they're crazy, and that's not the case. But when you have this deliverance information, it better helps you to know how to deal with people. It better helps you to know how to deal with yourself. When you're seeking deliverance, there are things that you have to be ready for, and it's a very good thing. It's a very good thing, it'll make you feel so much lighter. You'll look at things differently, but it's very important that you keep your deliverance. And listen, you may not get rid of everything from one session of deliverance. For some people,
one session of deliverance helps them, but some people, they need multiple sessions, and that's fine. That is completely fine. However, once your sessions are over and you're able to, you know, think about certain things and it no longer affects you, or you may encounter a person that hurt you and it doesn't affect you anymore, you have to make sure that you keep your deliverance. Don't open the door back up to sin. Don't open the door back up to the devil and invite him back in. And so one of the questions that is often asked by those seeking to understand deliverance is, can a person have more than one demonic spirit possessing, oppressing, or influencing them? And the answer is absolutely yes. Not only can a person be affected by several demonic spirits, but it is the spirit's objective to get the individual to open up to other spirits. And so Luke 8:26-30, we see that evidence, and it says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils, long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And so when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, but oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And so this scripture clearly tells us that he not only had one spirit possessing him, but he had many. And that's because when we open up the door to one sin, then that sin opens the door to the next one, and then that one opens the door to the next one. And so, you know, before you know it, you have a legion of demons. And guess what? They all can be cast out. They think that they have a right to you forever and ever, but they're wrong. They don't. And so, you know, it's up to you to want to, you know, tell them to get out. You have the right to tell them to get out. Just like when somebody comes in your house and they're disrespecting your house, you know, you have the right to ask them to leave, because that's your house, and you don't have to accept disrespect in your own house. Again, it's the same way it works with these evil, nasty spirits. Also, Jesus is the deliverer. So when endeavoring to understand deliverance, we must recognize that Jesus Christ is the great deliverer. One of Jesus' purposes was to preach deliverance to the captives. In Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So Jesus declared the good news or gospel to those who were in bondage or held captive by the enemy of our souls, which is Satan. It was the anointing on his life through God, the Holy Spirit, that empowered him to set the captives free. Again, it was with the Spirit of the Lord that was upon him, causing him to be a deliverer of those held captive by the enemy. So when he preached deliverance to the captives, the anointing that was flowing from him caused those who heard and received his word to begin to have the enemy shackles fall off of their minds. And when the Spirit of the Lord anoints you, your preaching, telling forth of the good news changes. Your words are no longer words led by human thought. Rather, they now become words directed and empowered by the Spirit of God to set the captives free. So, you know, the Lord, when he anoints you to do a thing, it's him. It's him that's working. It's him that's working through you, and it's him that is speaking through you. Apostle?
Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Oh, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. So with Jesus being the deliverer, excuse me, and deliverers, they have an inner passion to defend and to liberate the oppressed. You know, you will find out that as you're going along in life, you know, and you're seeing things in life, you're seeing people, you're seeing devastation, you're seeing people being upset, depressed, and so forth and so on. Something inside of you just wants to help them, wants to see them free. This even goes back to when we first started the session today, speaking about the fact that, you know, the things that God has created you to do, you had signs of it when you were a child, you know, when you were a child. And even when it comes to being a deliverer, the deliverer's desire to defend and avenge those that are oppressed, you can look at two little children playing, and they will be playing, and one, you know, might play, you know, that they're in distress, that their cat is up a tree, and that is distressing. And the other one comes along, and here I am to save the day, you know, and they go in there, you know, to save the day, to help that other child. They may see in real life a child, even in a daycare center or something, a child that is weeping and crying because they might be unattended, don't have any attention given to them, or whatever the case may be. And one of the children will go, and it's okay, baby, you know, let me help you, whatever the case may be. That person has a spirit of compassion and comforting, and yet they want to deliver that oppressed child from the situation. So often it causes the deliverer on the inside of us to rise up and take a stance against the oppressor. In other words, we get righteous indignation, and we do so trying to liberate the one that's being held down, or the one that's being in prison, the one that's being distressed. And this is what Moses did, you know, in the Bible before he had the burning bush experience. In Acts 7:24, it said, "And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended them and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian." And like I said, you know, you're the one that wants to jump in there and save the people, help the people. Whenever the gentleman that wrote the book said, whenever he sees people in bondage to the enemy in whatever area they are being held captive in, whatever it could be, whether it's poverty, sickness, brokenness, whatever, it causes the deliverer in him to want to tell them that the enemy that caused that situation and their life can be defeated. Yet he's wise enough to know that before he can say this to them, you know, he must open them up to hear about, deliverance through Jesus Christ. He must preach to them. He must teach them so that what they're going through, that their spirit of hope is built up, their faith is built up, so that they can go through that deliverance and go through it successfully, And there are times, you know, that when you see somebody stressed, you want to do something right away. But thanks to God, please take the time to do the proper things in order to assure a successful deliverance. We had a deliverance on Wednesday night during our Bible study. Now, that's right, thanks to God. During Bible study, that was not on the agenda. That was not on the agenda. We were going to do ten verses dealing with the power of God. That's what we were going to do. We got through one verse, and the Holy Spirit just wiped through there in that one verse, and somebody got by the Holy Spirit, and the heaviness that they had been bearing, the oppression that they had been bearing, I mean, it broke. It came forth in the name of Jesus, and we ended up doing a deliverance service right there on Zoom you know, with the person that we were talking to. And it was awesome, you know, to be able, you know, to walk through this and seeing God. God, I thank you, Jesus. You know, God prepares us for the things we need to do. He prepares us. And I believe that because we are doing these deliverance teachings and so forth and so on, you see, we are more prepared because we are, you know, reading the word here. We are studying what should be done and so forth and so on. So it's getting more and more in us, and it was already in us by the Spirit, but we're getting now the steps and the procedures, you know, that have to be done in the natural, and knowing what needs to be done in the spirit realm. And so without us saying, okay, we're going on to do Bible study, let's be prepared to do deliverance. You know, we went on to do Bible study, and our spirits were prepared to do deliverance. Amen. Mm-hmm. And Amen. We had deliverance being done right there. And this is why when Minister Tabika said, you know, please, y'all, get the points that we're speaking of. Have your pen and paper. Write down the steps. You know, if you are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, you're sanctified, you're living right before the Lord and so forth, God can use you at any time. He can use you at any given time. He just needs the vessel ready and willing to be used. But you want to be in a place where you're doing the right thing. You cannot deliver those people that you have not spoken to as far as the word is concerned, people that have not received what you said about it. If they will not receive your teaching about it, the teaching, first of all, you know, about being saved and it, receiving Jesus Christ, and the fact that there are demons, the fact that they can be delivered, the fact that those demons have no right to them. If they don't know that, understand it, then they can't cooperate with you. And so we must be sure that we're going through the right channels so that the word of God, which enables them to be free, that they can get free and remain free in the name of Jesus. So you give them that hope, you help raise their faith level, and so that they are able to walk in this, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, baby.
Amen, amen. Also, you must be able to verbalize it. You know, that's really important when it comes to deliverance, mm-hmm. when you're ministering to someone who needs deliverance. You as a person who understands deliverance must be able to verbalize the fact that demons are affecting them, as well as what Jesus Christ did to remedy that fact. You should be able to give them understanding of how they got that way and how Jesus Christ's death on the cross and resurrection from the dead can afford them liberty from their circumstances. This in fact, deliverance being preached, the good news of what Jesus Christ did for them. And so, you know, telling people the good news, explaining to them what the good news is, what Jesus did for us, you know, making sure that they understand what deliverance is, and letting them know that, you know, that they've gone through some things. They're not crazy, you know, but demons are affecting them and affecting them in a way that will cause them to feel like, you know, they are crazy. The demons want them to think that they are crazy, thinking that there's no help, there's no solution to it. You're this way, and you're always going to be this way. And when we begin to listen to that and then agree with it, then it goes to a higher level of demonic activity. And so we must make sure that we are sharing the gospel with people. And then sometimes the demonic influence comes from an ancestor or somebody on the family lineage that agreed with the demonic about something, agreed with Satan about something over your life. They may have offered, you know, a generation to Satan for something. And so you are being affected by that. I was on YouTube the other day watching one of the deliverance sessions, and a young lady's grandfather was into witchcraft or something he was into, and he offered the devil his granddaughter. And so she had been experiencing demonic activity, and, like, she was supposed to be the next she was supposed to be, like, whatever it is in witchcraft, she was supposed to be the next witch, something to that level, something, because the grandfather had set her up to be the next one, I guess, to take his place or something like that. But she couldn't understand, you know, why she was going through these things. And then once she understood that that's what her grandfather had done, and then that high-ranking demon didn't want to let her go, and it kept saying, "She's mine, and I'm not letting her go." And so, you know, it's things that our ancestors have participated in, and that's why we have to break generational curses. We have to break satanic activity off of our bloodlines, because it does affect the next generation. You know, even sin in our lives can affect our children. The things that we do can affect our children. So that's why we have to be careful what we do when, you know, when we have children. We have to, you know, make sure that we get our lives together to some degree, because what we do has an effect on our kids. And then when they're experiencing something, we're like, well, you know, what's going on with them? Why are they acting like that? And it's because, and this is not for everybody. This is not the case for everybody. But, you know, a transparent moment, when I was younger, I smoked. At one point, I smoked marijuana. At one point, I smoked those Black and Milds. And now my son does the same thing. So I opened up the door to that, and now I find myself breaking the curse, you know, off of him because of something that I did, because now I don't want that to now trickle down to my grandson. So, you know, I pray to God to break the spirit of addiction, you know, off of my bloodline, however far back it started. You know, God, please break that, you know, break that off of my bloodline, break that off of my child, break that off of my grandchild. Let it end, you know, let it end with ending with my child, that it does not affect my grandchild. Let the door be closed to that now, that my grandchild won't have to go through the things, the doors that we opened, you know, that we opened unknowingly. At that point, I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about this at that point when I was younger, in my 20s or whatever. I didn't know anything about that. But had I known that, I probably would have done things differently. But now that I do know that, I can go back and pray and ask God to break that. I know he hears me, and I know he's working on my behalf. Apostle?
Amen, 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 amen. And this is where the word of God comes in so so strong, so powerful. It's so important. It is the word of God that is anointed to break those yokes, to break those curses. That's where the power is. That is the spiritual material that the Holy Spirit uses in order to set us free. It is the word of God. It is the word of God. You know, even while Minister Tabika was talking and speaking about how, you know, our children pick up things that we have done, and they picked it up, you know, in the spirit more so. Like, her son didn't necessarily see and experience her smoking and so forth and so on, but that same spirit that was on her then is what's on him now. And it is knowing the word of God. If you listen to her speaking, though, I've got to pray, I've got to you know, break this curse and so forth and so on, and it's done with the word of God. The word of God goes into the mind where the enemy has established a stronghold and overthrows their thought. So therefore, you know, she can walk in confidence, you know, that as she speaks, remember she said we got to speak it. As she speaks the word, that word will go forth and do exactly to do. The word of God is like a life preserver that is thrown out in the water, you know, for somebody to save them. You know, the life preserver that you, you know, that you throw out in the water to save someone from sinking. Well, the word is like that life preserver. That word is your salvation, which affords us, which affords those who are lost and dying. It affords them the opportunity to be rescued by the word of God. And I'm telling you, it is so important. excuse me. And then as we are using that, applying the word of God, you know, to in the deliverance, applying the word of God, Jesus sends his word and it heals our disease. Jesus sends his word and the word can deliver us from whatever it is that would have us bound. The word of God is the sword of the spirit. And so we know that that is what is fighting those battles for us. Jesus' name also being the sword of the spirit, because he is the word. He is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is the word. And when we declare the name of Jesus, demons tremble. They bow. They have to submit in the authority of Jesus' name. When we look at the scripture, Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." To the glory of God the Father. So when a righteous Christian speaks the word of God, it is anointed, thus empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring into manifestation its intended purpose. If that purpose is the casting out of devils, then it will be. Then it will be. And that's powerful for us to know and understand. Thanks to God, as we are sharing this information is to build up your most holy faith. Build it up. You know, be like, you know, the little red engine. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. You know, when we come into this, we think we can. We think we can. And the more we hear the word, the more our faith is built up. You know, we get that confidence that, yes, we can. We can with the help of the Holy Spirit, because this is not about us personally. I cannot walk around here saying, I am the great deliverer. Anyone that is in my presence and have demons, you know, like demons are going to flee, you know, and it's because of how powerful I am. No, 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 no. This is about the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God, the Word of God. It's all about Jesus. And because we are saved, because we are covered in the blood, we have the total right to use the name of Jesus. His name holds power, and yet the devil, everyone who uses the mighty name, they don't submit to everyone that uses it, because false prophets can use the name. People, unsaved people will use the name of Jesus. Unsaved people will use the name of Jesus. Atheists will use the name of Jesus. Anyone can open their mouth and say the name of Jesus, but only those that are given over to the Lord, only those that have been adopted into the kingdom, only those who have received what Jesus Christ did for them at the cross, only those have the right to use the name of Jesus. They have the right to use the name of Jesus. Real quick, if we look at Acts 19, verses 13 to 16, it says that a certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And so you see here you have the sons of Sceva, which was a Jewish priest. You have them using the name of Jesus, saying that they're going to cast out demons. And the demons said, look, I know Jesus and I know Paul. They recognized the power in Jesus. They recognized the power of Jesus in Paul. They recognized him. They said, but who are you? You know, you are powerless. You mean nothing at all to us. You mean nothing to us. And so when somebody that is not in the right place attempts to do this, not having the right to do so, they will not get the result that one is looking for. Devils recognize the right to use Jesus' name or the literal word of God. But just because you can say the name of Jesus does not mean you have the authority to use the name of Jesus. I thank God we know that we have the authority to use his name, and we go forth in doing so, again, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, beloved.
Amen, amen, yes. So, sorry, excuse me. So devils are subject to you, the righteous believer in Christ Jesus. And so there is something about righteousness in the believer that makes devils tremble. And devils know that righteousness is the highway in which the believer in Jesus Christ accesses their authority that God has ordained for them. That righteousness is imputed to us through Jesus Christ. When you declare his name, you are declaring your legal right because of Christ's righteousness imputed to you to operate in the authority that his name holds. So this includes the expulsion of devils. In Luke 10:17-20 gives us an example over authority over demonic spirits or devils through Jesus' name. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So like, don't be all, you know, boastful and bragging and you know, doing all that because the spirits are subject unto you. That's nothing to rejoice about. But you should rejoice that your name is in the your name is written in heaven. That's what matters the most. That your name is written in heaven. That's where you want your name to be. And so it tells us that, you know, God has given us the power. He's given us the power to tread on the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So that, listen, it says nothing shall by any means hurt you. So that means as long, you know, as you are submitted and surrendered to the Lord, you're walking in righteousness, these evil spirits can't hurt you. They simply can't. They may want you to think that they can hurt you, but they can't hurt you. And the other thing is that God has given us the power to do this. And it tells us what we have the power over. And guess what doesn't say? We don't have the power over people. it does not say that in here. We don't have power over people, but we do have the power over the serpents and the scorpions, that's the animals. You know, we have power over them. We have power over the enemy, the evil things. We have power over, but we do not have power over one another. So, you know, God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly if we had power over one another, that would be a mess. That would be a mess. You know, everybody would try to be better than the other person. And I mean, even though we all already see that now, that's not of God. So if you see that, you know that that's not of God, because God did not give us power over people. We see that in certain situations. We see that in other countries where, you know, you have this one leader that's a tyrant and just want people to do what they want them to do. Yes, we must follow and obey the laws of the land, but a particular person cannot have power over us. That means if this person wants you to clean his shoes, you know, and you don't want to, they don't have power over you to make you clean their shoes. If you don't want to, that's not of God. But if there are laws that are laws and rules and regulations that we are to follow, we must follow them as long as they're not outside of what, you know, God's word says. When we go to work every day, you know, your employer does not have power over you per se, because you have the right to work there or not. You know what I mean? That's your decision whether you want to work at the company or not. So while you're there, you have to obey, you know, their rules and their regulations and the day-by-day things. You obey what it is that you do within your job description. But then if your employer tells you to do something illegal, guess what? You don't have to. You don't have to. Your employer does not have power over you to make you do something illegal. And if they're adamant about wanting you to do something illegal, there are avenues that you can reach out to. No person has power over you, even in your marriage, even when it comes to your children, you know, even when it comes to your relationship with your friends and your family. No person has power over you. Remember that. And the enemy will try to rise and make you think that he has power over you. He doesn't have power over you. So yes, just allow God to do what it is that he wants to do in your life. God is doing something great in this season. Seeing people being set free, seeing people come to know him and receive him and want to change their lives. Because we see so much stuff on TV that's turning people against God, but you know, I'm expecting people to turn their lives around and say, you know what, I'm tired of suffering, I'm tired of going through this, I'm tired of experiencing this demonic activity in my life. I'm crying out for Lord Christ Jesus. I want him to be the Lord over my life. I want him to be my savior, not the world and not material stuff and not my mother and not my father, not my employer. Jesus Christ be the savior over my life. Apostle.
Amen. 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 And I again do thank God, you know, for the teaching, and I do believe that the listeners on the line live and those that will hear this recording later, I believe that the word of God will go forth in the name of Jesus, and that it will take root and it will transform. It will transform those that are listening. I thank God that that the spirit of man is being pierced by the spirit of God through these teachings, and that preparation is being made. Preparation is being made for people to walk in the authority. The word tells us that Jesus said that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So to perish is to die. For a lack of knowledge. So therefore, when we have knowledge, we're able to live and to live a life victoriously. And Prophetess Kim, I don't know if you're in the place where you can do so, but I want to ask you, if you're there, please, to pray for us today. You know, especially with, you know, the last month, you know, y'all have really been operating in deliverance and so forth. You have the anointing, the understanding, and so forth. So if you are available, praise God, if you are available to praise over the listening audience, I truly would appreciate it, woman of God. Hello, dear.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this day for everything that has been said over this line, oh God, today and for the past few weeks for our teaching on deliverance, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everyone on this line, God, who is hearing your words, is hearing the power that we have through you to walk in our deliverance, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So we ask that you would reveal, that you would uncover, that you would expose any demonic assignments, any power, any principality, anything that is working behind the scenes, oh God, that wants to keep your people in bondage in the name of Jesus. Uncover it, expose it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We are praying today that anything from our father's background, from our mother's background, from anyone that we have connected to, any friends, anyone we had sex with in the past, or even with our spouses, any demonic soul ties from their past, Lord God, today we ask that you would cut the cords and sever the ties in the name of Jesus. We declare, oh God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are invoking the covenant of the blood to override and to overrule every other demonic covenant, any other demonic laws that the enemy has used to keep your people in bondage, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For your word said that even a lawful captive shall be delivered. So today we are taking our deliverance by force, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We come against every technicality, every legality, any access the enemy has used, any legal grounds the enemy had to hold us captive to our past, to things from the generations before us, known or unknown. Today we declare our unconditional release and freedom by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we thank you today, oh God, that we shall walk in covenant blessings in the name of Jesus, that generational curses are being destroyed today in the name of Jesus. We declare that what happened to our mothers, what happened to our fathers, sicknesses and diseases shall be far from us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We declare divine exemption from every addiction, every habit, oh God, that has fought in our bloodline, oh God. We infuse your people today, oh Kasira Mashiach, with the blood of Jesus Christ to flush out every sickness and disease, any ungodly deposits, anything that was deposited in our lives through sex, through dreams, oh God, where the enemy has planted. Your word said anything that our heavenly Father has not planted in us, today we uproot it in the name of Jesus. And we lift our hands, God. We surrender. We repent of anything we have known or unknown, oh God, that has given the enemy access to us in the name of Jesus. And we declare the door closed, access denied. Cover it and close it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we thank you today for our freedom. We thank you today for our deliverance. We thank you today for our healing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, oh God, that we shall walk in our freedom and liberty that you paid the price on the cross already for us. So we take it by force today. God, we ask that you will cover the apostle, cover Minister Tabika, cover their family, their home, and all that is connected to them, oh God, as they have brought forth this teaching in the name of Jesus. We come against any backlash or retaliation, oh God, from the camp of the enemy. Let anyone on assignment, let anyone speaking or opposing the word and will of God for their lives, let them be the recipient of their own words today. We override it with the word of God, and we render it null and void against their lives today in the name of Jesus. God, we are coming against word curses in the name of Jesus. Anything spoken or contrary to your word, God, we render it null and void today in the name of Jesus. Anything that we may have said, oh God, known or unknown, that has brought a curse in our life, in our family, or over anyone connected to us, God, today we repent. We say we are sorry, God, and we ask for your forgiveness, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, enlighten and illuminate your people. Give them revelation. Give them understanding of these teachings, oh God, that you are sending forth during this time. And let there be deliverances that take place even over this line, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we vow to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen and amen. Let your blood that speak greater things than the blood of Abel speak on our behalf. Your blood is our defense. Your blood is our weapon, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So let the blood go to work. We appropriate the mysteries of the finished work of the cross today, and we declare our release. We are declaring freedom by the mysteries of the finished work of the cross, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. My God. What a mighty God we serve. What a powerful God.
Thank you, Lord.
For your manifested presence in this place, oh Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the power of the name of Jesus. We thank you for the authority in which you have placed within us, and the authority in the name of Jesus. Lord, we touch and agree with the prayer that has gone forth, oh Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, as you cover my sister, Lord God, by your blood, oh God. I thank you, no retaliation, no backlash, no revenge shall come upon her, her household, her ministry. Nothing, Lord God. No weapon formed against her shall prosper. And Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for victory this day. We thank you, Lord God. And truly, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. And we do thank you, Almighty God, for all that you have done. We thank you.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thanks to God, we have come to another marvelous, wonderful end of a broadcast today. Praise be unto God. And we will continue on in the deliverance, understanding deliverance. We will continue on next week. We also admonish you to listen to Minister Tabika's Freedom Friday, her podcast. We're doing the same deliverance thing on that podcast. So and so both of these sessions are being recorded. So her podcast is recorded. You can go back and listen to that. Our show is recorded in the archives. You're able to go back and listen to these shows. get what you can, saints of God. Rise up, sons of thunder. Rise up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And be all that God has called you to be. Be all that God has called you to be.
Yes,
I'm excited.
You,
I'm charged and ready to go forth. Hallelujah, in the day. Ready to go forth in the day.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Beloved, do you have anything to say before we do our final, do the closing?
Just to God be the glory, and I thank him for always just showing up and, may he cover and keep Prophetess Kim in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, beloved, we are out. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.